You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Wanda Brandon. Wanda, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You had sent me some information about a cemetery there in your neck of the woods in Missouri, St. Louis, and some disturbing information about it. I want to get into that in great detail. Right now, for the benefit of the listeners, could you give them a little bit of background about who you are?
Well, again, I'm Wanda Brandon. I reside in St. Louis, Missouri, and I have launched a campaign about the cemetery, which is Washington Park Cemetery. It's located in St. Louis County in the city of Berkeley, which is a suburb right outside of St. Louis. And I started with this campaign in regards to the desecration that has occurred at the cemetery that's been started over an extended amount of decades.
Thank you, Wanda. Yeah, I did see that. I read all the material that you got me, and it's amazing how much has happened and how long it has been going on for. And of course, you contacted me because of the Disabled American Veterans. You saw, I guess, a couple of articles that I had written about that organization, which is
right.
Headquartered, I guess, not too far from you, north of you. How did you get involved in this particular matter? And what was the year that you got involved? And when did all the controversy surrounding this begin?
Okay, I originally started out volunteering at the cemetery in July of 2016. I have several family members that are buried in the cemetery, and I have some that had been disinterred from the cemetery. So anyway, I went out to the cemetery. I met a volunteer out there, and I vowed to come out and start volunteering. Maybe a couple months had passed, and during that time, I guess it was like June of 2016, right after Philandro Castile, who's originally from St. Louis, Missouri, and Alton Sterling were murdered. After their murders, I was really upset. So I had to find something to do with my time. So I started going out to volunteer at the cemetery. And upon me coming out to the cemetery, after coming out a few Saturdays, I was taken on a tour of the cemetery by another volunteer. And it was brought to my attention that there were billboards inside of the cemetery. And these billboards were located directly, the six billboards, they were located directly on top of graves. People, the deceased, are literally buried directly under and surrounding these billboards. When I saw that, that just infuriated me. How disrespectful a billboard company could be to literally drill in the ground with those humongous pillars that they instilled to house the billboard, how they literally drilled in the ground basically inches away from headstones. So that's how my campaign in my organization, the Washington Park Cemetery Anti-Desecration League, that I founded started.
Thank you for explaining that, Wanda. When did controversy or contention about the cemetery begin, let's say, within the community and in the press? What year was that?
March of 2017, I reached out to the billboard company in regards to their desecration at the cemetery. And with a lot of back and forth being ignored, I was basically told July 28, 2017, that the company, which is DDI Media, that they were not going to remove their billboards from the cemetery and that there was nothing that they planned to do about it. So that's when I decided to launch a campaign against the billboard company. And from that forth in the fall, some more activists and myself that handles like media coverage for the movement, we made a video about the cemetery and the billboards. And in January of 2018, that's when the press got involved and started to document and create their story. And the first story hit the press in May of 2018. It hit the newspapers. After it hit the newspaper, a local television news station was interested in the story. So it started hitting the press, and publicly people were finding out about these billboards that have been around for three decades and no one knew about them.
That's actually what I was going to ask about too, because some of the news articles you sent me went back all the way to 1991. So this issue has been festering since then, or maybe even before that, right?
the issue that was festering before then was not necessarily the billboards. Like I said, the billboards is like a dirty little secret. Most people, include myself, and I've been in St. Louis all my life, when you pass the billboards, they're adjacent to the highway. So if you're passing on a highway, you don't notice that they're inside of the cemetery. You would just look at them and assume that they were alongside of the cemetery, on the outside of the cemetery, but actually they're inside the cemetery. The long history with the cemetery of neglect and abuse and desecration. In the early 1990s, Bi-State Development and the City of St. Louis, the City of St. Louis used eminent domain. The cemetery was split in half. I guess we can go back to the 1950s. In the 1950s, the state government, federal government came in and took land from the cemetery to run Highway 70 through. They wanted to put a highway. So they literally took the land where people were buried at and ran the highway through the middle of the cemetery. So the cemetery ended up being divided into two parts. One side was on one side of Highway 70 and the other was on the other side of Highway 70. Well, the land that was on the northern side of Highway 70 is adjacent to the airport, St. Louis Lambert Airport. So that land was wanted in the early 90s because the City of St. Louis was bringing light rail transportation to St. Louis. So they wanted to connect the transportation to the airport. They wanted the light rail trains to run directly to the airport and connect with the airport. So what they did was the cemetery was basically in their way. So they went and got a court order from the City of St. Louis because the City of St. Louis owns the airport. Even though it sits inside of St. Louis County, it's owned by the City of St. Louis. And they were granted an order. They used eminent domain. After that, they disinterred well over 10,000 people from their final resting places to run the trains through the airport.
Isn't it the case that maybe even today, if someone would walk through the cemetery, they could view bones sticking out of the ground?
Well, not today. This was a story that arose in the late 1980s, late 1990s. The previous owner, Virginia Younger, she owned the cemetery at that time, which allowed the billboards to be put into the cemetery in 1986. She leased the land to DDI Media, and in 1989, she sold just that particular section of the cemetery to DDI Media, where people already buried there. But she sold that land to DDI Media, in which a lot of families, including myself, just people in the community, are questioning how was that even legal for her to do that. But she went on with the process and sold it to DDI Media. So at that time, that section of property went into the ownership of DDI Media. And right after that, in early 1991, due to the mismanagement of the cemetery, the records were all messed up. Families were coming out. They couldn't find their loved ones. There was reports that people would go to the cemetery where the deceased was not buried where they were supposed to be buried. There were reports of people who had been putting flowers on graves. Family members had been putting flowers on graves, and come to find out the person that they thought they were visiting the grave site was not the deceased of their family. And there were reports that people had gone out to the cemetery and they actually saw bones sticking up out of graves. It was just a big mess. Virginia Younger eventually was being investigated by the Missouri Attorney General's office, and the pressure was too much for her. She committed suicide.
This cemetery, is it predominantly or is it solely filled with Black Americans?
Solely. It was founded as a Black cemetery. And I would say if it's not 100%, it's probably 99 or 98% African Americans out there.
Do you think that race enters into any of this stuff that you've been discussing? And race, if so, how?
Of course, race enters into this. This cemetery was established and opened in 1920. There are several cemeteries in the City of St. Louis that date back to the 1850s, 1840s that are still in existence to this day, and they're white cemeteries. They have not suffered this kind of neglect and desecration. DDI Media would have never been allowed to put billboards inside of this cemetery if it was a white cemetery. they probably never would even approach the people. Maybe they would, but it wasn't allowed to have occurred. Virginia Younger did this. She did not approach families. She did not contact families and get their opinion of whatever. She just went on and did what she wanted to do because for some reason she was pressed for money. I don't know what the issues were with her. Number one, she didn't know anything about running a cemetery. I can tell you that much. She inherited this cemetery, from my understanding, from her employer. So she knew nothing about the day-to-day operations of a cemetery. She got into something that was over her head. So this would not have been allowed to occur. There are other cemeteries that are along highways in the city of St. Louis and St. Louis County where DDI Media could have approached, and majority of them are white-owned. There are no billboards put into those cemeteries. Now, there is another black-owned cemetery here that's basically in the same shape as far as the neglect, the lack of ownership throughout the years as Washington Park. And that cemetery has a board of directors. We're approached with putting a cell phone tower in it, and they refused. So Virginia Younger allowed billboards and cell phone towers to come into the cemetery before she killed herself.
I read that they found her in bed with a gunshot wound to her chest. Was she white or black?
She was white.
Do you believe that she committed suicide?
I have no reason to doubt it.
You have actually reached out to the companies that were advertising on this billboard, and you actually got some results. Can you tell listeners about that?
Okay, yes. What I decided to do after much back and forth with DDI Media, and even after this story hits the press, their arrogance is that we're right about this. This is our property. We can do what we want to do with it. And I had told them, I'm giving you the opportunity to do what's right. You have a chance to right a wrong. What you did was wrong. Okay, here's your opportunity to fix it. Pack up your billboards and get your equipment, pull it up out of the ground and get out the cemetery. Get the land back to the cemetery. You shouldn't have it in the first place. They refused to do that. So October 30th, 2018, myself and other members of my organization began to contact the current billboard occupants, companies that had purchased ads in the cemetery, to notify them where their billboards were located. And every last company had no clue that their billboard was inside of a cemetery sitting on top of graves. And everybody that we called, there are six billboards, there were six companies, Clarkson Jewelers, Wonderworld STL, Lewis Bakeries. Some of these companies are locally owned. Some of them are out-of-state companies. Lewis Bakeries is based out of Arkansas. St. Louis Public Library had a billboard out there. And another local company, Birthright STL. Shen Yang, this is a musical that was advertised out there. So everybody was contacted. We got a little resistance from St. Louis Public Library. They were a little reluctant about pulling their ad. They felt that my fight should have been with the billboard company instead of them. And I explained to them that I was with the billboard company. Obviously, they don't want to do us right, so now I'm coming to you. So you may not have put your ad there directly, but you did do business with them. So you can pull your ad from the cemetery and have it put somewhere else. So with some resistance and after getting the press involved and contacting them, they saw that this wasn't a joke, that this was very serious. They eventually pulled their ad from the cemetery. So all of the billboard companies from October, the ads are gone out of the cemetery. November, there was a whole new set of billboards that came into the cemetery. Disabled American Veterans, the DAV was one of them. 590 The Fan, which is a local internet sports station that's at the cemetery that is still there now. I'm believing that they have a personal relationship with the billboard owners. St. Louis Public Library came out of the cemetery in the end of November. And there was also another charity that's called Foundation for Life, PassItOn.com. They were in the cemetery. So everybody from November is gone out of the cemetery except for the DAV and 590 The Fan. I contacted the DAV's headquarters in, I believe it's Kentucky, and I received an email eventually back from them saying, in short, that they felt it was an honor to have their billboard inside of the cemetery. When I notified these billboard advertisers, I sent pictures of their billboard so they could literally see the headstones directly under their billboards and around their billboards. So ironically, there is a veteran buried directly under this billboard that the DAV has. I sent them a picture. I heard back from a Dan Clare, who was director of communications, that said, oh, well, the DAV should not be treated like the other companies have been treated because their billboard is a charity and they don't pay for the advertising space. It's donated to them by the billboard company. And I told them, I don't care whether you paid or how you got the advertisement, you're desecrating. So you're in line with the same desecration that the company, the DI Media, is. You may not have known where your billboard was going to end up at, but now you know and you've been informed, and I expect for you to leave the cemetery. He said, oh, we feel it's an honor for our billboards to be on top of the graves of veterans. And I said, this is ridiculous. I've never heard something so crazy. So the veteran that's buried directly up under their billboard, I contacted that veteran's family, and the family was livid. They were like, what? How can these people think that this is okay? How can they think that they're not desecrating? So the family reached out to the Kentucky office. So I took it a little further. I contacted the Washington, D.C. office, which is a legislative office, and I asked for Delphine Foster, who's listed as the commander, and she's supposed to be president also of the board of directors. So upon asking for her, I was directed to the CEO. I believe his name is Burgess. He was supposed to get in contact with me. I never heard from him. I got a call back soon from his administrative assistant, and she asked for my address because they wanted to send me a letter. I said, okay. So I found that kind of odd because most people don't send letters through snail mail anymore. They email. It was Christmas Eve when I finally was able to get the letter. I received a certified letter, and this letter was supposedly written by Delphine, and she was telling me basically that she felt it was an honor for the billboards to sit on top of the graves of African Americans, and she's an African American woman, and blah, blah, and she went on and on and on with all this nonsense, and basically she said the same thing that Dan Clare had said, that they should not be treated like the average company that buys an ad, that they are a charity and the land was donated to them. Bottom line, we're not going to remove our advertising.
Pretty amazing.
It is very amazing. I think she sounded very stupid being an African-American woman. How can this be okay? You're desecrating just because it's a veteran. And there are other people there. It's not a veteran section. There just happen to be some veterans that have been buried in this cemetery. And there's just been just a whole lot of things that have gone on. Last summer in the spring of 2018, especially when this story started to receive a lot of press coverage, a lot of parts of the cemetery have been overgrown for decades. The cemetery has an owner, but basically it doesn't have an owner because the current owner does nothing and he has no money to do anything with. His name is Kevin Bailey, who's very non-participant in the process of the cemetery. The cemetery is basically maintained by volunteers. People that just come out and cut the grass. There's a faithful small group of volunteers who I got with. There was five of us. I have pulled my volunteer services from the cemetery because I feel like if the cemetery has an owner, he will not speak out against the desecration that's going on at the cemetery. And I'm wondering why. There's a cell phone tower in the cemetery, and I don't know if he's getting money from that cell phone tower. There's got to be some kind of funding somebody's getting, but it's not going back into the cemetery. But he's not speaking out against this desecration that's going on at the cemetery. And I feel like this is the owner, who is a black man, cannot speak out against the desecration that's going on, then I don't need to go out here and volunteer. So I pulled my group of volunteers that I was bringing to the cemetery through the United Way. I stopped my volunteers from going to the cemetery.
Yes, that's understandable. So after you got this somewhat surreal response from the Disabled American Veterans, which many of the people mm-hmm. who are listening to this interview know that the people there, and we talked about this, they earn more than the President of the United States. How was it that you reached out to me?
Okay, I was just really livid about the DAV's response. And I did not get that response from the vice chair on the board of directors. He's in Minnesota. His name is Stephen Whitehead. He seemed to be very concerned that the billboards were inside of the cemetery. He said that he would reach out to Dan Clare, but I didn't hear any more from him. I guess since Delphine said it was okay, then everything was fine. So I was just really livid after that. So I started doing more research on the DAV, and that's when I came across the articles of the exuberant salaries that the DAV president, the CEO gets, and these other people are getting all of these six-figure salaries and making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, several hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And you still got veterans that are still homeless, veterans that are sleeping on the streets, hungry, don't have proper housing, proper medical care. What is this all about? So I said, I said, I want this story to go national. So far, no one had picked the story up nationally. It's got a lot of local press coverage, but no one has picked the story up nationally. So that's how I found your story, and I reached out to you.
Thank you for explaining that, Wanda. And it is pretty amazing that the Disabled American Veterans, the top guy, that Burgess guy you mentioned, it's called the Adjutant, the National Adjutant. I think it was last year or the year before, his income was over $500,000. So I'm sure that it's much more. And of course, the other officers under him are bringing in $300,000, $400,000, the high $200,000. So it's obscene that these people are a charity. And what I don't understand is, Wanda, and maybe I'm missing the whole point here, but how would it hurt the DAV to just agree with what you're saying and find another billboard?
I don't understand that myself. If DDI Media is giving you this billboard for free, so what? I've reached out to other charities, Foundation for a Better Life, PassItOn.com. They have a billboard in the cemetery so far. And when I reached out to them, I guess they didn't really understand what was going on. So I talked to the director of the charity and I told him, I said, go online and Google this story. Just put in Washington Park Cemetery billboard. And he pulled it up. And literally while I was talking to him on the phone, he's reading the story and he said, oh, this is awful. So he got on it right away. I said, now, I'm quite sure you don't want your foundation associated with this. Because when I did further research, their number one contributor is the Ann Schultz Foundation. I contacted them. I said, hey, you're moving a little too slow. And they got free billboards also. They found it was terrible what was going on. And they pulled their billboard ad from the cemetery. I can't understand why the DAV, if you're bringing in all these millions and millions and millions of dollars every single year, you could afford to pay for your own billboard, number one. But I don't see what the issue is that you can't remove your billboard from the cemetery.
Right.
So I don't know. They may be friends with the owners of the billboard company. I'm not sure what it is. It doesn't make sense.
Right. And on top of it, they're not even paying for it.
No, they're not even paying for the billboard.
They're desecrating a cemetery with veterans in it. What can some of the listeners do to help you out, Wanda? Is there somewhere they could go, some website they can go to, some way to contact you?
Okay, I have my Facebook site, not a website yet. We are a young organization. We haven't even been around a year yet, so we have not been able to build a website yet, but we do have a Facebook page, and the Facebook page is Washington Park Cemetery Anti-Desecration League. You can reach out to me through that. Make sure it's Washington Park Cemetery Anti-Desecration League. Also, I have email address, which is wpcadlstl@gmail.com.
Why don't you just say that email address one more time?
wpcadlstl@gmail.com.
Thank you, Wanda. And of course, I appreciate bringing this matter to our attention. And this is something that we are going to give national exposure to. And I hope that the souls that are resting there in that cemetery will finally have some peace from the commercialism that has invaded their space, and also from this organization, the Disabled American Veterans. And I'm looking forward to talking to you again real soon.
All right. Well, thank you for the interest in what's going on here in St. Louis.